Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you after all these years. 10 and a half years. More than 10 and a half now. That's right. This November will be our 11th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. And boy, howdy, has it been fun for me. The time just flies. My time on the show just flies. I love doing this, and I love talking to you about what you and I do, our small businesses, these things that that we own, that we have. You know, we own them, but they kind of own us, don't they, in some ways? They're sort of like, sort of like our children, aren't they? You know, you think the children are yours, but really you're theirs. And so, but anyway, it's one of those things that I don't want to be without my small business, and I bet you're the same way, even on those tough days. Even on the days when we don't have enough capital. And by the way, folks, it's just going to be you and me, it looks like, for a little while. Our guest, David Gass, we're having a little difficulty writing him up. But you and I are going to continue to talk about this, because this concept of this discussion about getting the capital that you need is an ever-important one. And I know something about that, because been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, still buying the T-shirt, still making payments on the T-shirt. There's virtually nothing that you can do right or wrong. There's virtually no mistake you can make. There's virtually no successful step you can take to get capitalized that I haven't done. And I'm including all the ways to do of doing it wrong. I've done it, and luckily I've lived to tell about it. I'm fortunate in that way, because I know some good people who didn't live to tell about it, so to speak, from a professional standpoint. Their business didn't make it because of what I call Blasingame's third law of small business. It's redundant to say undercapitalized small business. And that's the truth, folks. You don't have to say undercapitalized small business. All you have to do is say small business. That's what small business means. It means undercapitalized, and in my opinion. And if you'll always think about that, if you'll always keep that in your mind, if you'll recognize that you're really going to always be undercapitalized. Now, okay, some of you out there are saying, well, wait a minute, I'm in good shape. I've got 6 months of cash, reserves, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. Congratulations. I'm not saying that this isn't possible to be successful and work hard and to do well and ultimately get to the point where you technically could say you're not undercapitalized. But that's a very, very, very small percentage, even of the mature companies, that can say that. And I'm going to propose that business, whoever said that, whatever person says that you know they're not undercapitalized, I'm going to say that in 5 minutes I could ask them some questions that would show them how they are undercapitalized. And by that I mean there's always some place to put the money. That's what happens, isn't it, in our small businesses. Just when we think things are going well, we think maybe we're going to get a little bit ahead, we're going to have a little bit of a cushion, you know, something happens that where we say, oh, okay, here's what the competition is doing, here's this new development, here's this new angle, here's this new thing. If I'm going to stay ahead of the game, if I'm going to continue to lead my sector in my marketplace or my town or wherever it may be, if I'm going to continue to maintain my leadership in my niche, I'm going to have to get that. I'm going to have to acquire that capability. And that means that some of the money, if not all and if not more than all, of the money that you thought you were now going to have as a little bit of a cushion is now going to be required to be reinvested in the company. And see, the reason why you and I are undercapitalized is because we only really have three sources of capital. One of them is of course, our own money, or some other investor capital, but the investor capital options are limited for small business owners. I'll talk about that in a minute. And the other one is profits that we create in the business that we have to actually earn. We have to make profits. A lot of small business owners are not, a lot of small businesses are not profitable, at least not very profitable. Many of them operate at a loss on a regular basis. It's true, isn't it? I see you shaking. I see you nodding your head out there. And then the third way is debt equity. And I shouldn't say debt equity. Debt capital is what I meant to say. Debt capital, meaning from a credit card, from a bank, from someone else. Maybe someone loans you the money besides a bank. But those are our options. Big companies, major companies, publicly traded companies have dozens of different ways they can go to the marketplace to get capital. You and I only have basically about three. And those have heavy restrictions on them. If we were rich enough to loan ourselves a lot of money, we wouldn't be in business. We'd just be managing our money, right? So, you know, not too many people who are filthy rich start a new business. Sometimes it happens, but not usually. Usually they just kind of manage their money, right? And then and the profits, all right, so let's say you're going to grow your business 8% this year. That's not an unreasonable expectation for most years, is to say I'm going to have an 8% growth. Some of you may be doing more than that, right? Well, guess what? If you only put 2% profit on the bottom line, which would be a very healthy profit number to put on the bottom line, by the way, very admirable bottom line number to put on there, it's 2% net profit. That's 2%. That's not 8%. So how are you going to grow your business at 8% and fund it with profits if you're 6% short? So where's the rest of that money have to come from? How do you grow your business? You have to get some kind of credit. Either go get equity capital from investors, or you got to go get credit. Now the problem with equity capital is when people don't just want to come into your business as an equity partner and then get out in a year. They want to come in and be in for a while, and then they want to get rid of. Then they want to divest, which in a small business means that you got to sell to somebody, probably, right? Which may not be what you want. So equity partners are not always that much of a good fit for small business owners because we want to own our businesses for a while. But then with a bank, for example, the good thing about that is that when they loan you the money, you can pay them off and be done with them, right? In a year or two or three. So it's a little handier. When we come back, we're going to talk about the realities of some of these different sources, especially investors and especially banks. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Turn around and see you in a crowded place. Watch for the emotions on a guarded face. Singing. Get me a jacket. Hold me on. Little Joe Cocker bringing us back there. 23 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and all the things we do here. And smallbusinessadvocate.com and then askjim.biz. That's where you get small business answers now. Just type your question in and we'll give you some answers. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get that, we'll let you come in and use our stuff. You don't have to tell us who you are. You don't have to give us your email address. Unless you decide to subscribe to my free newsletter, then we're going to need that email address. It's just you and me, and we're talking about credit and capitalization, capitalizing our businesses. The couple of ways of getting funding, getting capital for your business. Of course, the best capital partner you'll ever have. And folks, you don't hear a lot of people saying this, but I do. I say it all the time. And you, if you ever hear anybody talking about, you know, bringing in venture capitalists, all these startups think they need to go find venture capitalists. Let me tell you something, folks. There is only one alpha capital partner, and that's a customer. The best way to raise capital is to acquire customers. Customers are. They heal lots of ills. Find somebody who will buy your stuff and who will pay you for your stuff, And those are the best partners you'll ever have. And then love them up within an inch of their lives. This is the problem. This is the reason why I don't understand why small business owners treat customers like almost like they're in the way. Employees do that, don't they? I bet this week you've gone to a business and an employee actually acted like you were interrupting them. You were interrupting their conversation with their fellow, workers or whatever they are, and which at that moment they're really not working. And so, I mean, I don't understand that. I don't understand why we don't, when somebody walks in the door, we don't think of them as the most important person in our lives at that moment. We should be doing that because they are not only your customers, they've made an investment in you. They're helping you with your capital. Folks, the more customers you have, the less you're going to have to borrow money from the bank. The better the customers are, where they allow you to make a profit, the less money you're going to have to borrow from the bank, the less money you're going to have to try to ask for an investor for. So the first and most important investor in your business are customers. And, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, yeah, I'm going to start this new business, and the first thing I'm going to do is go find some investors to put some money up. I said, why don't you go find some customers? The person actually said, huh, I hadn't thought about that. Guess what, my friend? That's what the investors are going to ask you first. Who's buying your stuff? Who wants your stuff? How are you doing in the marketplace? So, folks, focus on the customers. They're your best ones. Now, let's say you got customers coming in, and you still want to grow at 8%, but you're only putting 2% on the bottom line. So where are you going to get the capital to grow that business at 8% a year? Because there's going to be a cash shortfall, a capital shortfall there. Now, you can go find investors to come in and put some money in, but they're going to want a piece of the action. They're going to want a part of your company, maybe most of your company. Maybe a controlling interest in your company. They're going to want to have a say-so about how you run your business, how you make the decisions you make. Now, the good news about an investor is that they're probably not going to require any kind of a monthly or annual return, because that's what the stock is for that you're giving them. So that's the good news. They're not going to have a negative impact on your cash flow. So that's good. The negative part about investors is, number one, folks, regardless of what you've heard, most small business owners, the vast majority, are not candidates for investors, even for angels. Although angels are one way you ought to look, something you ought to look at. If you're looking for investor capital, especially if you're a small business, look for angel investors. They're usually a lot easier to deal with than the venture capitalists. A very tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of businesses get funded by the venture capitalists. And it's a whole different world when that happens too, by the way. So the investor capital comes with strings, right? Heavy strings, even if they're angel investors. But you get the money that you want, typically, hopefully, without having to impact your cash flow. If you borrow money from a bank, they're not going to tell you how to run your business. They're not going to want a piece of your business. They just want to get paid and get to charge you interest, which the interest and the debt service will have an impact on your cash, a negative impact on your cash. So what you've got to do, if you take out a loan, you've got to make sure that your cash flow from your operation will service the debt, will make the debt reduction payment and the interest. And, of course, that's the one thing that the banker is going to want you to show them is how is your business going to do that. You got to show them a cash flow projection statement. They're going to want to see that. Now, the good news is that you get the money, and over time you pay it off. And when you do that, hopefully the money you borrowed strengthened your company. It got you some new positions in the marketplace. You acquired an asset that you don't have to pay. You can still use after it's paid off. And then the bank goes away. That's the good thing about doing business with banks. They go away after you pay them off. I like customers first, bankers second, investors third. That's my order. Customers always first, ladies and gentlemen. 29 after, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back with Dr. Robert McTeer. I want to be with you everywhere.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.